Good to see you out today. We're continuing on quickly because we've looked at quite a few different topics, and we will for a few more weeks up until Resurrection Sunday. The reason for this is we're trying to evaluate our church to remind us what we're supposed to be about, because it's easy to forget with all that's going on in the world of churches. We want to try to remember what is the biblical concept that we're supposed to be following, and to make sure that we haven't veered off, because it's so easy to get off track. So that's why we're doing it, and that's why they all are interrelated, but they're different. In the day, we're looking at the concept of miracles and how that works out. And this is not exhaustive by any means. We do not have enough time to be that exhaustive. But Mr. French, you just mentioned something a while ago, and it's amazing when we're talking about miracles. And basically, the one today is healing. We're looking at Acts chapter 3, because Acts is where the church really starts to take off, where it's born at Pentecost. And he posed the question, Benny Hinn's a big healer, right? Y'all know that's his ministry. He was asking me, wonder did Benny Hinn's church have any handicapped parking places? Anyone know? Any of y'all ever been to one of his meetings? No? In chapter 3, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" The story is told, not 100% sure it's true. I've heard it from several different sources, that St. Thomas Aquinas, an early church father, the Roman Catholic angelic doctor, is what he was referred to, if you remember your history lesson. He entered where the Pope was once, I think it was Clement maybe at the same time, where to converse with him, and the Pope was in there counting money. And the Pope looked over and he says, "The church can no longer say, 'Silver and gold have I none,'" this verse. And it's reported that Aquinas responded and said, "Yeah, and neither can it say, 'Rise up and walk.' We have money and no power. Used to have power and no money. Now we have money and no power." It's amazing how many different concepts are in this room of what the church is, what it's supposed to be doing, what it's not supposed to be doing. And I don't know, some of you would probably have a different take on miracles than I do, but especially if you step outside of our basic way of thinking and you get just a little bit outside of here, wow. There's all kind of wild ideas about healings, and we're going to quickly do a real overview of it. We're not going to be able to get in depth. The Bible warns repeatedly, constantly, of ever-present danger of heretical, means false, teachers, heretics, which is something that doesn't teach the truth, because they claim to represent God, yet they misrepresent the truth of the Scripture. So they do great harm, and Jesus described these, and I didn't put the verses in there, so you can look them up, they're in your handout, and Jesus actually described them. He called them ravenous wolves. Paul also used that terminology, to be careful, and warned that many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Some will be exceedingly dangerous, showing great signs and wonders. What is that? Miracles. Go back to the Exodus. Whenever God sent Moses and he had the 10 plagues, what did the sorcerers of Pharaoh do? Copied it, all except the last one. So, just because we see a miracle take place, don't always attribute that to God. Because as we're going to see, the devil and his demons absolutely can do that stuff. to mislead, even if possible, the elect, the ones who are really supposed to be paying attention. There is so much confusion about this gift of healing. And basically, here's the way it works. And I would fall in the camp that would say there was a ceasing of the gifts of the Spirit that were taking place at Pentecost. There were some of those things only apostles did then, and that time is just no more, and we're going to look at that quickly. But there are some that say, oh, no, all those things are still going on, and if the church is not doing those things, then the church is not the church that Jesus said it's supposed to be. And then they'll say all those things, healings, gift of tongues, all those things that go on, but they just, it's amazing. Well, I don't have time to just talk about all that, but they just pick the ones from Pentecost that they like. They never reproduce everything that went on at Pentecost. Why? Because there's never going to be another Pentecost. And there's a lot of things that went on at Pentecost will never happen again on this earth. And so that's what the issue is when I say that. Many today claim that they have this gift of healing. Here's what I say. You know, if you have the gift of healing, we shouldn't have to call all the lame to go down to the Civic Center and pay an entry fee. All you have to do, just go up to how many hospitals around us? 1, 2, 3, and 10-mile radius. Just go up there and heal somebody. Is that the way it happens? If someone really has the gift of healing, and I'm not going to say that God doesn't, we're going to see that in a moment. It doesn't mean that God doesn't heal anymore. Absolutely. It's just not the way we see it on television, unfortunately. And that's exactly what this is. Their so-called healings often run the gamut from psychological ploys to outright fakes to demonic activity. You remember Leaf of Faith? Steve Martin? I feel a healing coming on. That was his famous phrase, wasn't it? Right? And what was that? That was a shenanigan. But what were they copying? What had happened in America in that time frame? You remember when they singled out the big three back in, it would have been the early 90s maybe? You know, when they did the, what is the talk shows where they do the, what was those things called? All those documentaries? Oh, 60 Minutes or something like that. You know, those things where they found these three big-time healer guy preachers absolutely proved without question they were fake. You know, they were saying, send your money and do this, and they even traced it. I remember looking at it. They traced it. They followed the gifts people were taking, given, and they sent them straight to the bank. The bank opened the gifts, took the prayer requests out, threw them in the big trash can in the back, put the money in the bank in the guy's name. That's what, if you missed that. So, unfortunately, the healing ministry took a little hit, and it should have, because it was all fake. But that's what Steve Martin, the whole movie was about, remember? It was about what? It was a scam. And now it's really easy to do with all electronic devices, but that's exactly what they were doing. But remember what happened at the end of the show? Anyone in here saw it? What happened? A real healing. And what did it do to that guy? He changed him. He said, oh, I know a fake healing. I do it all the time. He said, this is a real one. And when you compare what we see today in the name of Jesus to what these guys were doing and what Jesus did, different universe. And that's what we have to be careful. As a church, we have to be careful that we do not fall prey to all this erroneous stuff that people push. Is physical healing in the atonement? Here's the issue with all these faith healers. What do you mean by that? Did Christ directly die for the ills of the body as he died for our soul? They say, oh yeah, by his stripes we were healed. If you go to Job and you go to Ephesians and you go to 1 Corinthians, without question, you see that what he died for, number one, was to redeem the real us on the inside. And why? Because, let me read this. While he can and does sometimes heal, the answer to that is no. And here's why. Because the body, although redeemed, is still subject to sin. What does that mean? You're going to get sick. You know, some of these same people, you know, they were not just here now. They were present in Job's situation. Remember when Job had all those catastrophes happen? What did his three dear friends do? Accuse him of sinning. They sounded like this health and wealth prosperity gospel. What is if you just quit sinning, you wouldn't have that trouble. You know, if you just confess that sin, God will heal you and you'll be all right, because God wants us all to be well all the time. That's what they promote. Doesn't that sound good? Especially if you're sick. Hello? Yes. Remain subject to sin. The old nature, all the infirmities, we get sick. You know, bless their heart. If you ever known many of them, I've known a few of them pretty close in my lifetime. When you say, man, I think I'm getting a cold. Well, just don't receive it. Excuse me? Oh, yeah. When I feel a cold coming on, I just don't receive it and I don't get it. You hang around a person with a cold and you're going to get it. Hello? Isn't it right? That's a bunch of malarkey. Just don't receive it. Because we live in a sinful body, we are going to get sick and we are going to die. That's it. You know, in some of that same group, they'll say, well, you pray one time, and by faith, if you really believe, it's a sin to pray the next time. I've had that told to me in my face. I said, excuse me, what happened to Peter? What happened to Paul? Oh, how many times did Paul pray? And was he healed? No. What did Jesus tell him indirectly? My grace is sufficient. In your weakness, I'm made strong. So why we have to be careful? Because it's an epidemic in even churches that one time knew better that have bought into this system. Why? Because it brings in more money. Hello? It's unfortunately now Christendom in the church in America is about money. I had someone came by this week, hadn't seen the young guy. Matter of fact, what is his name? Josh's youngest grandson, Josh Chadwick. Noah? I came by here to do something Friday, and someone was out there in the yard just looking under the trees out there. And when I got out of the vehicle here and I looked over there, this boy said, Pastor Terry! And he ran over here, and that was who it was. And he's not this tall anymore. He's about this tall. And, you know, he's been attending a church down in Florida, and his dad was going to this big church, and they were all raised all this money. And, you know, some of his concept was, well, where's all the money for Harmony? I said, that's not what we're about. You know, and because he was talking about what they had done at his dad's church, and it's a Joel Osteen church, by the way. So there's a lot of money in that. Why? Because it's geared for that. You give money wherever it makes you feel good, right? Hello? You give money to the Dunkin' Donut place because it makes you feel good, right? Same thing, no different whatsoever. Because of this, it is an absolute proof, because if the atonement took care of everything, no one would ever be sick anymore. So you see, being consistent, they're wrong. If they say, oh yeah, all you got to do is just claim it, that's not true. Arthur Blessed, he used to walk around the world carrying a cross, became real, real famous. A good friend of ours used to kind of be with him in Sunset Strip and work the crackheads. And, well, it wasn't crack then. It was all other drugs for a long, long time till it got too political for him and he bowed out. But if you've never read any of his books, in the early days, he was on the right track. He's kind of veered off now to the wrong side. But he traveled all over the world. Do you ever see him on television? Ever heard him? Arthur Blessed? He drug a cross all over the world. Throughout Georgia, I met him one time when he was coming through Millen long, long, long time ago. But so he was people would call him and bring him to all these conferences just because of that. And it was a big conference out in the West where it was a healing and prophesying and just a big charismatic thing. And so they brought him in, and they had all the stuff going on, and he spoke right there at the end. And then the pastor actually was the one taking him back to his flight to fly out. So he said, as they were riding, he said, Brother Pastor, I'm sorry, it's just been so busy, but I didn't even get to meet your wife, all that was going on. I said, is she okay? And the pastor said, well, she's homesick. She got the flu. They just had a big healing service. Everybody's supposed to be healed, and the pastor's wife's homesick. He just put his arm on his shoulder and said, that's all right, brother, that's all right. Why is that? It's not, that doesn't flesh out. The real truth will flesh out in reality. You know, if it's consistent, it will be consistent. So the very same thing is, it just doesn't work. The physical impediments will be finally, when we get a brand new body, when all this is over. If you're a believer in Jesus now, and you die right now, Your spirit will be in the presence of Jesus, but you do not have a new body then. You do not get a new body till the end of Revelation at the second rising, whenever we get a new body then. We do not get one yet. So you're going to die in this one. All of us are. And if you trust in Jesus, but until Jesus comes, you can be sick today or tomorrow, or you could die tomorrow. That's just part of it. And it has nothing to do with Jesus' atonement. It has nothing to do with it. Don't get confused with that. It will do well to remember several points clear from biblical teaching. The church should. What is that? A lot of them are frauds. What they did on Leap of Faith is exactly what goes on. That, you know, before these three guys, it was proven long, long, long time ago whenever, what was that big faith healer before Benny Hinn? He took her place, Catherine Kuhlman. Isn't it right? Any of y'all readers of Catherine? She was the first real big faith healer. And Benny took that over, took his place. Actually, that's in print where he said he was going to follow her. It's fraud. You know, it's amazing what they heal, isn't it? You don't ever see them give sight to blind people. That stuff that's real, real evident. It's something, oh, I had a back pain, but it's gone. Well, did you take Advil or did you take something before then or what? Yeah, you know, I read where one thing they did and they discovered it was this old guy. And the same thing that they did in the movie. They stand at the back, and as people come in, they scan them and try to find out something is going on, and they pinpoint them so that they can tell who is going to do the speaking later. And this is a long, long time ago when the first stuff was coming out with something in your ear, and no one knew about it, that this old guy came in, and he was blind, and he was wanting to be healed because he couldn't read his Bible anymore. He lived in an old farmhouse. He lived it by a candle, so this little tiny print Bible he had, he couldn't read it. They understood that. So you know what they did? They brought him up to the front, prayed over him, turned on the brightest lights in the building, gave him a large print Bible about this big, and he could read again. Is that fake? Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. A lot of this stuff is malarkey. It's not real. And how many have been exposed? Why? Jesus, when they healed somebody, it was serious. It wasn't this stuff. Well, nobody can see that. I guess we just take your word for it. No, everybody saw that. Whenever Peter and John did this, they said, rise up and walk, and he picks up his bed. And everyone knows he'd been begging for all of his life. It's kind of evident. It's kind of hard to hide that one. The cure for these conditions and another like them is not even in the same universe as what the guys claim they're doing today. You know, again, if you really have a desire to help people in the name of Jesus, why not go to the hospital? Anyone? Why is that? Well, you got to pay them, really. That's what it's about. It's about money. We should be aware that Satan's demons can reproduce it. Jesus himself said, you know, he's telling the demon, you can't tell what you know right now. You know, these guys, they have a lot more power than we think. They do not only do this in false religions, but under the skies of Christianity. And this, Jesus himself said that, right? These people are talking to him, and he says, Jesus, we prophesied, what is that? And did miracles in your name. And what did Jesus say? I don't know who you are. Depart from me. Workers of iniquity. So we have to be careful. You have to scan everything and make sure what's going on, if it's real or not. False Christs and false prophets will arise, he says. These verses are in your handout. The early church was not a miracle. It wasn't all about miracles. It was the church was had a few apostolic people, the 12, who were given some extra supernatural gifts for a certain time. And it did not keep on forever. In every recorded instance of the gift of healing in the book of Acts, and that's where the church has started and you see it unfolding, who are they performing miracles on? Non-believers. Go do the search and check it out and you'll see. You know, it was for a reason. It was God showing the lost world his stamp of approval is on what these guys are not only say what they're doing, but what they're saying. And it's validated because someone is being healed. So people stand back and say, wait a minute, what's going on with that? Right? Does that mean God no longer heals today? Nope. Doesn't mean that. We got people. Sometimes he heals supernaturally. Sometimes he heals with medicine. Sometimes he doesn't heal. you know, I don't think he minds me saying, we just learned this morning that Mr. Peter's been told he has throat cancer. Are we going to pray for a miracle? I am. I prayed for a miracle that our daughter would survive. She didn't. I don't know when he's going to do it and when he's not. Does he? Can he? Absolutely. But I don't have any control over that. But does he still do it? Absolutely he does. For his glory. Not just because of Terry or anyone else. We see in the most prominent healing ministry today as far as cry from a miraculous supernatural things that you read about. And by the way, you talk about all these miracles and things. There were more miracles done in the time of Jesus than since. You just won't find that anymore. There was a whole different element there. Go back and look at how many miracles were in the Old Testament and see how many years span it was. A long thousands of years, and look how many miracles were actually performed supernaturally. It doesn't really even register. When everybody talks about, oh, they're real, it's just not the way that works. It's not the way God ordained it. It doesn't work that way. When you look at the stats, there's never been many miracles, and there's never been as many and will never be as many that happened at that one time frame with Jesus and when the church was being born. It just will not. Sharing the gospel is always the main thing. You know, I remember hearing an old African-American preacher, good night, how many years ago? 30 years ago? He was talking about this same thing. And I don't know if you've ever heard many African-American old-time preachers, but they get real animated. Is that a good word? Yeah. Because the church helps them out. You know, when they're preaching, the people talk back to them. Sometimes it's very distracting, unfortunately. I remember once, because we worked with an African-American pastor in a mission church in Texas for about 2.5 years, and he got out of that. He just said, it's nonsense. He was raised in it, and he said, that's not the way that's supposed to be. So I'm familiar with it a lot. In this particular case, the preacher was up there, and man, he was just waxing an elephant, boy. And he says, you know, if the church has got to walk. And the brothers out there said, let her walk, preacher. You know, clapping and going on. He kept on to come back up later. He said, the church has got to run. Let her run, preacher. Let her run. The church needs to fly. Let her fly, preacher. Let her fly. He said, but it's going to take some money to let this church fly. Let her walk, preacher. Let her walk. He went on to say, it's Wednesday night, traditional time for what? Prayer meeting. We were raised traditional church Wednesday night prayer meeting. Ain't it right? Right. It's Wednesday afternoon, actually 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's what that time is. But it's the hour of prayer because these boys are Jewish and it's still right now the place to go pray as they go to the temple. So it's time for a prayer meeting, and they're coming up there, and Lord, lo and behold, there's a crippled man at the door of the church. What did he say? The wardens must not have been on duty. My goodness, we can't have lame men laying at the door of the church. It's time for a prayer meeting. Isn't that right? He said, what's he doing here? Who brought him? Somebody do something about him. And that's the way it is, right? So that's what's going on. But why does he go to the church? If anybody's going to help him, who's going to help him? Somebody who's going to pray. Somebody's going to the temple. You know, why is it that when somebody needs something, they ain't been to church in 50 years, but they need something, where do they go? And we get calls all the time, and I ask them, I say, where are you? And they'll tell me such and such, sometimes way away. And I say, how'd you find this? Well, we in the phone book, on the internet. Oh. They just, and then if you help them, you couldn't find them with the FBI. I mean, that's just the way that goes, you know. We're real peculiar in that sense because we don't waste God's money. You start talking to them, and none of the story comes out right. So we don't just throw money at anything. And you say, well, that's not right. Yes, it is. It's God's money, so we're not going to waste it. So this guy's there because he's been begging. He's a beggar. He's been at the door of the church before, and he's begging, and the right two people are about to come in, Peter and John. John and Peter. Going to church. Church friends. Can you just picture that? And this man is there, And he's begging for money. Alms, that's what that is. You know, he says, help me out. I can't work. Now, we don't need to kid ourselves because we're in the same place that he's in. You're handicapped and you're crippled and you're lame. Oh, no, I ain't. Oh, yes, you are. And that's the first thing that we the church has failed in our day and time to remind people we are crippled and we are handicapped. We have a disease that's called sin. But now it's kind of gone out. You know, now it doesn't really matter, right? What did the Methodists do just a few weeks ago when they decided, you know, it's okay to have women and women married and be the pastors and men married and be pastors and all that stuff's okay now. And I'm saying that just because it's right fresh on our mind. But something else that happened to Debbie and Meredith in the last couple of weeks was that issue. Right after it happened, this lady, who their daughter plays on a volleyball team with Meredith, and we didn't really know any of these people, still do not know them real well, don't want to know some of them very well. You know, you just kind of get a read, and you say, okay, I think we'll stay back a little bit, see what happens here. But this came up, and she just was, she's going to leave the Methodist Church. And I'm thinking, yay, for the Methodist Church. Because she said, that's not right. And this was her comment. When we get the whole Bible, we'll understand that that's all right. Hello? Now, I've read a lot of stuff in the last 40 years. And I've read some stuff that is so far out there left, it doesn't even measure. But I've never heard them say, we don't have the whole Bible. They don't believe what we have, but they never say we don't have it all. You know, they try to add the Gospel of Thomas, or they try to add the Mormons' New Testament addition to it, but they never say, and she's saying, when we get the whole Bible, don't kid yourself. We're all in the same place he's in, and it's happened to us by birth. It says he was crippled since he was born. You know, you've had that infection since you were born, and I was born with it because of Adam and Eve's sin. It's just kind of passed down. We all have it. The truth of that humanity is that. The scripture is clear. We're born just like him. We have an infirmity. We have a sickness. We're lame. The first great message of the Christian gospel is we're all born in sin. That's it. The world can't fix that, you know. In the church this day and time, if you survey anything that's going on out there and what's coming out of the pulpits, it's not the same thing anymore. You know, when you look at history and you see how in the last 100 years, there was a time when people used to actually preach against sin. You know, that drinking was wrong, living together was wrong, all this stuff was wrong. And now you just don't hear it anymore because everyone thinks everything's okay now because we got to be tolerant, right? Right? Hello? Right. I mean, that's what they say. But the world can't fix this mess that we're in. The man begs for money. He wants some help. And the world is unable to help us cure this problem that we have because it's an infection on the inside. And nothing else can fix that one. All the world could do for the beggar was to give him some money. And guess where he's going to be tomorrow? Back at the church begging again. That's just the way it goes. You know, that's it. The church today is an extension of the world. Look at this. The world and the church are both full of activity. We have so much stuff going on, from political to social to educational to entertaining, and it's nothing but the giving of alms, and it really never deals with the problem. We have all this stuff in the name of Jesus going on, but we never talk about what the real problem is. All of that stuff is supposed to help us get the context with the person, but we still tell them, you know, we do have a problem. You know, it's not just about education. It's not just about athletics. Worldly stuff can only give us temporary relief. You know, when a person drinks and gets drunk because he wants to forget about his problems, and his problems are still there when he sobers up. Hello? Ain't that right? Or if he goes off on some drug tangent, if he ever gets sober again, guess what? He's in worse shape than he was when he started. Probably. Because he's throwing his money away, or she's throwing his money away, trying to stay high on something, not to deal with reality. Right? So it's only a temporary if it is there at all. The lame often expect the wrong thing from the church, just like that lady. Oh, well, the church should accept all these people because everybody has their own choice. You have your own choice, but it doesn't make it right. I can choose to be an alcoholic, but it doesn't mean it's okay, right? It says the man wanted money. There is a false notion about what the church is supposed to be doing. In her message, in her function, in her purpose, in giving the wrong impression to the rest of the world concerning what is it, what does the world expect from us? You know, what do you expect from the church? Well, the church should ought to be about great entertainment. You can get that at the Civic Center. You can get that on your phone. You know, if that's all we're about is just to come here and put on a good show, you can get that anywhere else. You know, if it's all about athletics and having a program, you can get that anywhere now. Churches do that now, and a lot of them use it for the right reason. But what is it offered that no one else can offer? That's the question. That's what the church is about. This confession, this confusion causes both the church and the world. The world can't fix anything, and the church has bought into it so much now that the church can't fix anything. Why? Oh, silver and gold we have, but we can't tell anybody to rise up and walk. Because what happened is the message has been so watered down, no one thinks they need anything anymore. Oh, well, I'm just as good as Otis. Matter of fact, I'm better than Otis. Yeah, but unless Otis repents, he's going to die and go to hell too. You know, remember, that's what happens, right? You know what the drunks, all of them, used to say? Well, I'm just as good as old such and such down the street. Yeah. And so all that's going to happen to him is if he doesn't quit, he's going to go to hell sober. You'll just go to hell drunk. You know, ain't no difference. The answer for the lame is not silver and gold. And boy, the church in America, not just church in America, the church across everywhere has bought in to the money to the point where, you know, you go to some of these churches and I should be careful not to criticize them, but I am. Okay, is that all right? I'll just be up front with you. When you go there to socialize with them, even for have a little breakfast with them, and you have to pay for everything. If you get any coffee, you have to pay for it. You're not going to find anywhere else where you get a lot of free stuff like grits and eggs. You know, and it's about money. And you start looking, say, well, you know, what did it cost to put this little thing? Oh, it only cost us $5 million. Whoa. You didn't wait for your change, did you? You wasted that much on this little element? And what is it? Okay, I'm fitting to get off on my hobby horse here. I don't need to do that. The business of the church is to deal with the real problem of men and women, not just simply feed them today, but feed them with the real thing so if they don't live tomorrow, they'll still be all right. You know, because here's the issue. When someone's dying, we pray for them to be healed, but the main thing is even if they are not healed, they're right with Jesus and God is glorified through it. Now, that's a hard thing to do when your love is about to die. If you don't believe me, get there and pray, God, we just want your will to be done and help us all through it, but you'll be glorified. The church offers a cure for paralysis, not just temporary relief, not just ibuprofen. Boy, ibuprofen's a lifesaver when you get old, isn't it? Hello? We were talking about it yesterday. Meredith had some trouble with her wrist. I stepped in a stump hole years and years ago, came back from Texas, and for 6 months I was helping my brother on the farm before I went to North Carolina, and we were bright. We were walking up and down the Geechee River, fishing, wading, and in the summertime, and I stepped in a stump hole underwater and messed up my sciatic back here. I wasn't a young chicken even then, but still. And it was about time to where we start plying up peanuts, and I was the driver for my brother, so 12 hours a day I sat down on the tractor. And I would get up at the end of the day, and I couldn't walk. I mean, it was about to kill me. So I finally went to the doctor, and he says, if you don't get off that tractor, you'll never get better. I said, well, I got to do it 3 months. So he said, you just have to take Advil. I took a lot of them. I don't take them now unless I just have to. But I had to survive. But what was that? Did it cure me? Oh, no. It fooled me into thinking I was better. See, that's what a lot of this church does, all this feel-good stuff. It fools people to thinking they're better, and it really never gets to the heart of their issue. And it's a serious issue, especially eternally. Because when you try to cover it up and you cover it up, and one day you think it's covered, and Jesus brings you before him, and then you're going to say, and he's going to question you, and it's going to be too late. The real business of the church is, we love people enough to tell them, you and I both have a serious problem and the world can't fix it. Only Jesus can. That's it. And we can't get sidetracked. We have to hurry to the end. Our trouble is this paralysis of the soul. It's amazing what you can do in the rest of your life when your soul is fixed. You know it? Isn't that right? Why? Because your soul is what really controls everything else. I say our soul, our heart. It's all, it's according to what, if you're working from a Hebrew perspective or American perspective. That's where the issue is. And the great thing about that is Jesus can fix it. So what did they say? He said, such as you need, we don't have, but what you need, we have. In the name of the president? Is that what they said? In the name of the governor? In the name of Joel Osteen? In the name of Charles Stanley? Who? In the name of Jesus. Simple. It's not complicated. What does the scripture say? There is no other name given under heaven whereby we might be saved. Jesus. It's always the answer. And it's so easy for a church to get so caught up in everything else that we forget this is the main thing. It's our responsibility, if we're going to be biblical, to love people and tell them the truth. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your forthrightness with us. Lord, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you provide a plan to heal our paralysis. Lord, we just ask you especially even now for Mr. Peter, Lord, for Lisa, some we've been praying for, some new ones. Lord, we just ask you that you would touch them. We just ask for a supernatural intervention for your glory. And Lord, if that is not your will to heal according to our request, Father, that you would work through that in all of our lives, especially those immediately affected, and that you would be glorified through it all. Lord, we just trust you, not only with our bodies now, but in eternity. Thank you for all you've done to provide for us. In Jesus' name, amen.